definitely God is real and God is not good sometimes, but he's good what?
All the time. God is real. He is good. God is still on the throne. He's in control of everything that's going on in life. Amen? Yeah, if you're visiting with us and not a member of the Church of Christ, you're a very honored and distinguished guest of the audience, whether you're listening to us via conference call or YouTube or Facebook Live. We thank you for joining us in this worship service. For those who are here, we welcome you. If you're a visitor and not a member of the Church of Christ, we want you to be a member of the Church of Christ. Amen. Wow, we believe that the Bible is right in the churches of Christ. We believe a man, a woman is going to be saved. Have to believe this book called the Bible. If you believe this book, then you'll believe in Jesus, who you never saw with your eyes. And if you believe in him, then you'll believe in his command, that he that believe in him is baptized shall be saved. You won't question that. Anyone who believes in Jesus will never question what he says. Amen. So to be saved, you must hear the gospel. That's good news. How he suffered, bled, and died on Calvary. Believe it with all of your heart. Repent of your sin. Confess Jesus to be the Son of God. And then be baptized for the remission of your sins, the washing away of your sins. And then the Lord then will add you to the only church in the Bible. And that is the Church of Christ. Number one church in the Bible. That's not something we apologize for. We believe the Bible is right. We just speak what the Bible speaks and be what? Silent where the Bible is silent. We don't add to it or take from it. God's word is good enough all by itself. Amen. Well, you experienced a New Testament pattern of worship this morning. If you visit with us, we sing without the help of mechanical instruments and music. Why? That's the way the Christians did it in the New Testament. We take the Lord's Supper every Sunday. Why? That's the way the Christians did it in the New Testament. And we will preach from the Word of God. Why? Because that's what they did in the New Testament. We give. We don't tithe. Why is that? Because that's what they did in the New Testament. So we are New Testament Christians. There were no Christians when David was living. There were no Christians. So don't run over there and get David's instruments. There are no Christians over there. Christians didn't become Christians till they was in Antioch. Amen. Jesus had to die for you to have a Christian. Amen. He had to die on the cross, and that happened in about AD 33. Now, part two, a thorn in the flesh. I wanted to follow up on this study. Let's see it last week. Many of us are struggling, you know. We're struggling with what's going on, and people are struggling. Why do things happen to good people? There's questions that are coming like that. Why good people? You know, well, things are happening to all people.
Right.
Good and bad people. Amen, somebody. But sometimes when things are going in your life and it's you and it seems like that thing won't go away and it's always, that thing is always there. It's always poking at you. It's something always going on. It seems like it's always bad news coming your way. And you ask yourself why. That's what we've been talking about last week. And how many of you have done that? You know, why me, right? Why this happened to my wife, my kids, my children? Why is happening to my family? Why my mama? Why, you know, any of you all had anything like that going on in your life?
Amen.
You start asking, why you? And I mean, I'm just trying to be real. I mean, most of us don't have those situations. Like, wow, man, what am I doing wrong? You know, I'm trying to serve the Lord. I'm trying to do right. You know, I want to do good. But, man, it seems like I'm getting punished. Anybody ever felt like that?
Amen.
Feel like you're getting punished, you know, so what am I doing, Lord? What am I doing? And so hopefully, through this study, and it might be a part three to it, depends on how it's going. I'm learning a lot through this for myself, and I hope, you know that anybody who's preaching the Word of God, by the time I get to you, I done studied this thing three or four times. Amen. By the time I talk to you, I already hit myself in the face. So I think Brother Robert said last week, I came down his street, went down the back street, side streets, and up all the... Remember, I went around my block five or six times before I told you about your one block. Amen. He's sitting over there reading now. I just tell him off right there. Yeah. Well, the books had to listen to it three or four times. That means I had to read the scripture. I had to go back over it. I had to reflect on it. I always teach the ministerial student, it applies to you first before you can talk to somebody else. Remember, I'm not standing up here without the same issues you all have. We all have the same issue, and the issue we deal with is sin. Amen. Sin is the issue of life. Amen. Everybody know I'm telling the truth about that. And not one person in here not dealing with sin. I all have what? Sin and falling short of the glory of God. So my brother, I'm past sin. You're lying. That's your problem. You're a liar in you, and the truth ain't in you. Amen. Yeah, so anyway, I believe God gives us this answer through the prophet Paul. So this is part two today. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 6. I hope you'll be encouraged by that. The answers that are coming from this study will be profound if you're listening. It's profound if you're dealing with life situations. As a man or woman of faith, you can be the best Christian you can be, but you got to deal with this thorn. Amen. You got, it's coming. You are, the thorn is there. Listen to what Paul says in verse 6. For though I would desire the glory, this is what he says.
I shall not be a fool.
All right?
I will say the truth.
The truth.
Well, I will still say the truth.
Mm-hmm. But now I forbear.
Forbear lest any man should think of me that
above
that which he seeth me to be.
All right.
Or that he heareth of me.
Uh-huh, verse 7.
And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh.
Right. That
the
was
messenger
Paul
of Satan to buffet me.
Now Paul said, there was given to me, and I told you all last week, the scholars say they don't know what it is. But I do. Because it's right there in your verse. He says, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Now what, he's going to tell us what it is. What is it? The messenger
of Satan.
Of Satan
to buffet me.
And the purpose is the message that Satan was sending, and it's going to buffet me. Now that word in the Greek, buffet, means to strike with a fist, to punch. Jesus was buffeted. And to harass, if you will, to disturb, to treat with violence. Paul says the problem here is God, there was a thorn in the flesh given to me, and what it is this messenger that's going to harass me. And messenger comes from Satan. So if you have a messenger, then there's a message. Correct? You don't have to have a degree in college to get this. If there's a messenger, then there is a message. So there is a message from the devil. The purpose of the message is to punch you. When he punches you, the intent of Satan is to destroy your faith. Why? Because if I harass you enough, you will curse God and die. He knows that without faith, it is impossible to please God.
Amen.
And if I can get them to cuss, and if I can get them to lose their hope, to give up on their belief, if I can get them to turn on God when I harass them, then they will lose their souls. And that's the goal of the Satan. The goal of Satan is for all of us to go to hell. Amen. Yeah. Now, listen, Catholic Christians, the best living life, and some of you may think you're really good at living a Christian life. Be careful that you don't get too high, that God will loose Satan with a message. You say, what God loose? Absolutely. See, God, the message from God is never bad. Never. God has a message. Satan has a message. But God's message is always good.
Amen.
You say, wait a minute, Brother Brooks. How can my mama death be good? Well, Paul said it like this. All things, Romans 8:28, work together. He didn't say some things. So wrapped up into all things is what we call bad things. So, who will be the bearer or the messenger of bad news. Y'all gonna help me along this morning. I mean, don't start getting quiet already. Y'all did that to me last week. Don't do that. Just say amen. I know it's tough. It's tough. Well, it's tough because that news coming, man. The message is on your way to your home. It's coming through your phone. It's standing at your door. And it's the messenger with a message to harass and destroy your faith. Let's look at a case study, as Brother Stroud would say. Brother Stroud is preaching down in St. Augustine this weekend. Thank God. We're trying to help Vincent Polk. Y'all know him? Had a stroke, so we have several brethren going to help him out. Y'all pray for Brother Vincent. Now, let's look at this case. Go to Job chapter 1. Now, y'all remember the story of Job, don't you? I mean, Job was a spiritual man, a very mature man, spiritually. The Bible says he feared God and what? Eschewed evil. So that word eschewed means Job lived in a way where he tried to turn, he worked his way, kind of like God's Bob. He died evil. He turned from evil. He stayed away from, he refused evil when it came his way. So, but Job was a very prosperous man. In Job chapter 1, y'all go back to read, I'm just going to kind of highlight the things that he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 oxen, 500 she asses. He had enough servants to take care of all them animals, and he was the greatest of all the men of the East, the Bible says. God held him in high esteem. God called him, he asked Satan, you know, have you considered? He knew he was a servant, amen? But there came a day when there was a heavenly gathering of the angels, the sons of God, and Satan himself showed up to talk to God. In verse 7 of Job chapter 1, God questions Satan. And he says in verse 7, the Lord said unto Satan,
whence cometh thou?
Where are you coming from?
Then Satan answered the Lord.
So now Satan and God is into a conversation about him. Where you been? Satan said, responds and said,
from going to the throne in the
earth. I'm down there on earth, them human beings.
I'm down there
with them human beings. I'm putting it in language we can understand. I'm on earth with Tommy and Robert and James and everybody else. Sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so. I'm down there in their house. I'm in the car with them when they drive. Amen. See, I'm like, I'm with them everywhere they go. I'm at the funeral too. I'm gonna sit right there with them. See, Satan ain't gonna, he know where we are. He down on this earth, and he's bragging it to God. I'm down there going to and fro in the earth, in and out of lives, in and out of marriage, in and out of church buildings. He's here this morning. Don't you think he's not? This guy's real, right? It's not like the pitchfork and the red with the long tail. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a spiritual being that's talking to God himself. He's arrogant. He said, I'm down there. I'm walking up and down in it. And then God asked Satan a question. Verse 8.
And now, Lord said unto Satan,
God, as they said, has God considered
my servant Job?
Have you considered this one Christian down there? I use Christian. They Job wasn't a Christian, but I'm going to use that for us. For our benefit today, okay? Y'all can let me do that?
Yeah.
Well, this is because we are Christians. We're children of God. Job was a child of God. Now, in this case, he said, now, he was a servant, right? Now, when we get baptized, we become servants of God.
That's right.
Amen. So here's a servant that God wants to promote to Job, to Satan. He said, have you thought about trying out this guy, Job? Read. And then he says,
there is none like him in the earth.
Yeah, this guy, there's no other one as good as he is. Yeah.
a perfect and upright man.
He's perfect. He's a mature Christian. He's an upright Christian. He feared me.
And excuse
and
me.
And he tried to not go along with evil. He dodged evil. Then Satan talked
back to God and said, "The joke, fear God."
Now he's going to say, "Okay, you talking all bad about this guy Job, but did you think he don't fear you for no reason? Is there a reason?
Has not there made a hedge of protection?"
Now, here's why you don't have to worry about nothing. You take care of him. You don't put a hedge around him. I can't get to it.
About his
house. I can mess all over the rest of him, but you won't let me get to this one. Now, this is the benefit of being a Christian. Let me slip this in on you. When you get baptized, the Holy Spirit is the seal, it's the hedge, which creates a problem for Satan. That's why you need to be baptized, for the remission of sin, so you can be sealed. Ephesians 1 and verse 13. So that Satan has to at least talk to God before he can come into your life and destroy it. So this is God speaking about him. And what would God say today about you? Would he have a conversation with God about you? Would he ask, "Have you considered my servant?" Put the blank and put the name, your name in it. What would be God's reasoning for recommending you when you don't come to worship all the time? When you're not an afternoon service, you don't get on the conference call. Why would he recommend you? You're not at Bible class. You don't give right. Why would he recommend you? You shacking? You living like you want to live? Amen. Why would God say to Satan, "Consider this servant"? Would he give him your name? Yes or no? You know and I know.
Man, you see, y'all got, there they go again, getting quiet. I told them don't do that to me today. There they go again. Praise the mighty name of Jesus. Yeah. Something happened up here on this board. It came alive. It's talk to me. We've been trying to get that thing to turn on for a year. It finally came on. It must have been Satan talking to God up there. It's a serious matter, isn't it?
Amen.
I asked myself, I said, "Man, I wonder what God would just say, man, you know, hey, how about Tommy? You all thought about him?" You ever thought about this?
Oh, yeah.
Huh? I mean, if y'all, your name would go in the, raise your hand, you think your name would go in the blank. Got two. Somebody said, "Man, I ain't tested. Now God might try it." See, I know what you're thinking. See, but you think, I said, "Man, if I do this." See, he called Job's name, but boy, watch what's happened when God called your name. He said, Job, he said, you got this head, you taking care of him. Not only are you doing this, you taking care of his house, all his stuff, all that he had on every side. You bless the
work of his hand, and his substance is in. Is
and this was a denomination person say, "You too blessed to be stressed." Amen. See, Satan is saying, "Hey, look here. You done blessed this guy so much. He's going to fear you." But then he said, "I tell you what you do, though.
But put
God, you got that much trust in him. You got so much belief that your servant Job, do this for me. Put your hand, touch all that he has.
And he will curse.
Take all his stuff from him. Take his house. Take his car. I'm bringing it to Mark today. I mean, take the job. Take the.
He will
take the bank account. Take the 401k. Take the houses. Take the children. Take everything away from them. Stop making them be happy. Stop making them say they're blessed. Make them say they're not blessed no more. They take it from them. Take everything they're putting for you. Put that. Crank that car and send it out. Send it back. Take that house and foreclose on that thing. And I guarantee you take some of them, you take your houses and your cars and all your substance, all your money in your bank account, some of y'all would leave the church.
You say, "Don't point your finger at me, I'm sorry."
Must have been God pointing at you because it bothered you.
Some of us would leave. He said, "Touch all that they have." He said, "The best you're dealing with possessions. The purpose of the thorn the message of Satan is for you to denounce. He said, he will curse thee to your face. He said, I guarantee you take his stuff from him. You don't bless him too much. He's going to curse you to your face. He's going to denounce you. He's going to lose his belief. He's going to lose his hope. He's going to leave you. He's going to disobey you. He's going to stop trusting you. And maybe, just maybe, somebody here today, or somebody on that conference call, they know you ought to be at the building. Ain't nothing wrong with you. You ain't sick and shut in. Amen. It's right. Amen.
Amen.
I've been saying this, but you know, this is what I know what we did and why we did. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, you know, at this point, you know, haven't you figured out if you can, let's get on with this. You know, ain't nothing wrong with you. You got to put God first.
Amen.
Amen, somebody.
Amen.
And don't use the crutches. You need to be in worship. Amen, somebody. Listen here now. He said, if you let me take all this from him, he's going to curse you. Note in verse 12, and the Lord said to Satan,
Behold all that he has
okay,
is in thy
power. Deal, Satan. Everything he owns, I'm going to give you your access. You got power. Take anything you want from him. God had confidence in Job. Do he have confidence in you? Does he have confidence in me? Take it. What if God said, take everything from your life? What would you say? Who worried? God can say, take everything I gave him from him. He can do it. And the Lord said, everything's in your power. Which means this becomes the permissive will of God. Now, Satan could not do this without God saying yes.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing happens in our life without God saying yes. Preach, Brother Bruce. I'm preaching. It's true. He said, but here's what I'm going to have your restriction. But upon him, put not forth your, don't you touch his body at all. God gave the command to him. Don't you touch his body. I like it when God commands Satan what he can and what he can't do.
That's right.
Yeah, don't you bother Brooks today. I told you. Amen, somebody. Give him a break today. Yeah. Man, don't you want to be a Christian? I want to be a Christian, man. That's what makes me thankful to be a Christian. All of us ought to say amen. Amen, y'all. I want God to be able to tell, say, don't you bother Howard Heights right now.
Yeah.
Don't you touch him. Is that right?
Amen.
I'm so glad somebody said that's good for you. I like my own preach. I really do. Sometimes it just get good to me. I start slapping on the pulpit and everything. Yeah, now I had to make you laugh because some of y'all talked about you pretty bad. Especially them conference call folks. I'm wearing them out here. I'm wearing them out, boy. They're going to start trickling back in. Conscience don't bother them, visually.
Yeah, that's right.
Especially when they go to the grocery store and do what the rest of them want to do.
Amen,
I'm about ready to take these masks. I don't know about y'all. I'm getting sick of these things. You know, that's the choice. It's no mandatory. It's not mandatory. You know, you do what you want to do when you walk in here. Not nobody mandating, and that's your business. I was thinking about sitting by Robert, though. I said, as long as he got his, I'm on my right. So praise my name, but he might have that stuff. I'm just saying. Yeah, now, let's get back serious again, all right? Satan left the presence of the Lord and started doing it, right? Watch what happens.
And there was a day.
Now, Satan starts to send the blows. Here comes the
sons.
He starts to buffet. Verse 13. He said, there was a day when his sons and his daughters was eating and drinking wine
in their elder brother's house.
All the family have a family gathering. And there came
a messenger.
Slowly right there, Rita.
Slow.
Back up. Good, right. Just stop when I tell you to stop. You about like Kirby. I had to stop him last week. Don't read over that one word messenger. Y'all see that?
See, what did it say in verse 13? I read it in verse 14. There came a messenger. A what?
A messenger.
When a messenger comes, they what?
Message.
What did Paul say the thorn in his flesh was?
A messenger.
A message. The messenger of Satan. Now, who has power over Job right now? Satan. Who gave him power? God. Whose message is it? Is it God's message or Satan's message? This messenger here in verse 14 go to Job, which is God's son, child, and he said, the first message, he says, their oxen were plowing and asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them,
took them away.
Yeah, I slain the sword to the edge of the sword. And I'm the only messenger. I'm the only left to tell you. The message came back to him. And he said, what did he say? The first message is they killed the servant with a sword, all the donkeys and oxen and donkeys. Look at what he said. Verse number 16.
While he was yet speaking, message one just came
from Satan. Message two. There came another what? Another message. Another what? It's a message. Who is the messenger? The message coming from someone delivering it, but the power is in the oppressor. That's Satan. And then he says,
the fire of God.
You see, the fire of God has fallen
from heaven.
Had burned up.
And burned up the sheep and the servant.
Your servant.
Consumed them.
And I'm the
only am escape alone.
Somebody to live to take the message back. Let's get to the next one. Blow number three. Messenger.
While he was yet speaking.
While he was there, there came another.
Another message.
Is it good news? No. The message of Satan is never good news. Watch what he says there.
It says, the Chaldeans made out three bands.
Yeah.
And fell upon the camels and have carried them away.
Yeah.
Yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword.
Yeah.
And I only am escaped alone to tell thee.
Camels are there now. Read.
While he was yet speaking,
there came another. Another message. All of us getting messages this morning? Who getting the message? Which message do we want to get? Because there is another messenger with a message. How I'm doing? I think that's pretty good right there. How y'all picked up on this? Well, good study right here. This is a good study. You people, I said, man, some of the smart people missed this. Little boy from Hempfield picked up on it. The Bible is right, boy. It's not going to change. He says, while he was yet speaking, there came another. Now watch this one. This is verse 18.
Thy sons and thy daughters
this time
were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house.
What?
And behold,
the message,
there came a great
to his
wind.
Daddy is that all of his children was in a house. Seven boys and three girls. And there came a wind. And the Bible says,
and from the wilderness, and smote the four corners of the house.
Yeah.
And it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee.
Just enough living to tell the message. Boy, look at what happened. Message one. All your oxen and donkeys dead. He taken everything and running. Second message two. Fire from heaven. They said it from God. The devil loosened fire on him. God got some power, isn't he? He got some power. Burn up his sheep, burn up his servant. Message three, the child deal, carry away all 3,000 of his camels, kill some of all the servants who are watching him. And the message four, all of your children. just died in a house. He went from rags to riches. I mean, riches to rags. Went from a father of living 10 living children to a father 10 dead children on the same day. I don't know about you. But when I look at what happened when God called Job's name, y'all ain't thinking with me on this one, are you? Many Christians couldn't handle this today. Many people, especially those living without God, many would commit suicide if they lost all the stuff they worked for. They were rich and famous and had all these beautiful children. They raised them all up and all of this happened to them on that one day. But did Job commit suicide? What was his response? Verse 21, he said, Job says, naked came out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return. That's what he said, y'all. The Lord what?
Gave, and
the Lord
took away.
God gave me a child. God gave me the sheep. God gave me the house. God gave me the children. God gave me the riches, and he took it from me.
Yeah.
He can give it to me, and he can take it from me. But watch what he said. God knew him. God said, and he said, blessed is the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not. Nor did he charge God foolishly. The devil lost.
Amen.
Job was a man who believed that God was still in control. He did not curse him, but he had a thorn in the flesh.
Yeah.
Four messengers on the same day. He loses first round, but in the second round, time to inflict him physically, he comes back. And let me say this to you, you know, just because we make it through one storm, don't you think the devil ain't going to try to take us out again?
Yeah.
Hey, man, he's back up there. Let me go back at him. We lost that one. They hung in there. Amen. Talking about the church. Congregation. We lost that one. Let's try another thing. Something else. Follow me? Then our individual life. Well, they made it through that. They ain't left for you. They still worshiping. They're still coming to worship. They're still praying to you. They're still giving right. They're still taking communion every Sunday. I done took their mama. I done took their sisters. I done took their husband. I done took their wife. I done sent them death. I almost broke all of them. And some of them, and they still coming. Amen. I took their job and they kept on giving.
Yeah.
Amen, somebody. You know what I'm saying? They ain't walk away when things got tough. They hung in there with it. They said, we believe God is able, no matter what's going on. Amen, somebody. So that's what they did. But Job done that. But see, God said God was proud of Job. I'm sure he was. He said, Job, you did well. But Satan said, well, all right, I got you. Maybe he did do good, and I'll give you that one. He made it through that one. But Job chapter 2 verse 6, he says, and the Lord said to Satan, look at him,
he's in the hand,
yeah.
But save his life.
Now, Job said, I tell you what, if you go back to Job 2 and verse 1, you talk about where, when he came back to him, he said the same thing, 7 verse 3, he said, he maintained his integrity, and then Satan answered the Lord in verse 4, skin for skin, go back to verse 4, he said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man have, he will give his life. So he said, well, yeah, you told me not to touch his body. He told me to take the cows and all that other stuff. I took his children from him, but he ain't sick or nothing. You see, how some people, when they doing good, when they feeling good, and their health is well, they good. They all about God then, man. God good, honey. Yeah, yeah. Put them on the sick bed. Then they start lying. Well, Lord, I'm going to be better. And when I get better, I'm coming back to the church. I'm going to do good. Get them locked up in prison. And then to that, discharge day. Discharge day from the hospital. Everything back to normal. Yeah. Go back to doing what you do. What happened when you were under anesthesia, when you were like in pain, and you didn't know if you were going to make it off the bed? You were up there talking all that noise. Tell me what you going to do and how better you going to be. Hoping God will give you another chance to get out. But be careful with that. Telling all them lies. You just wanted to get off that sick bed. Amen. That's why we don't do no deathbed repentance stuff.
And when people on their deathbed, preacher, can you go up there and save my mama? And mama, Lord, here's an easy answer. Here's an easy one. Just repeat after me, just like Billy Graham and them do. They on their sickbed, Lord, I'm a sinner. Come into my heart. Well, what were you doing 6 or 7 years he gave you live? Now, one time did you step in the church building? Now, one time did you read the Bible?
Yeah.
Now, one time did you ask God what to do to be saved? But on your deathbed, you just want that easy out. You said, brother, what that got to do with you? What I'm saying is that this thing came upon Job, and Satan said, I know something that'll get him. You let me touch his body. Let me get hold to his health. So when Satan from the presence of the Lord smote Job with sore boils, verse 7, from the sole of his foot unto his crown. Y'all know what a boil is, don't you? Huh? A boil. Man, I had a boil under my arm one time. I'll never forget that as a young man. And that boil, boy, that thing hurt. You walk around like this. Praise my name. But yeah, boy, I couldn't let that arm down, boy. And I held up with him. How many of y'all ever had a boil before? I only had one on it on. And I don't want no more. Man, I got to that doctor, the emergency room. I walked in there like that. I said, man, something, it's big old knot on here. Something you're going to do something about. This thing was hurting too. And they laid me down on that table. He says, Mr. Brooks, you can scream, but don't move. Boy, he hit that thing with that knife, and I did scream. I hollered, man. I hollered. That thing hurt. Imagine having them sores from the top of my head all the way to the bottom of my feet. Job, did he spare? Did Satan spare me? Not at all. Boils were painful. But notice what happened. Look at verse the next verse. The Bible says,
a potsherd to scrape himself with oil.
Yeah, he started trying to take care of the boil. Read.
And he sat down among ashes.
Read.
He said, then said his wife unto him.
Now watch what happens.
The still thou retain.
She's looking at her husband who was prosperous, who was rich, who was taking care of her. Amen. He was giving her everything she wanted, no doubt. You know, a good husband go take care of his wife. Is that right, brother?
Amen.
You know good and well if you got a good wife. Say, baby, I sure want me a new car. Baby, okay. No doubt, this woman had been taken care of. This woman knew her husband was a man of God. And it's good to be a wife and know your husband is a man of God. Is that right? How many of your wives got a husband that's a man of God? If you got a husband that's a man of God, you ought to be thankful. Amen, somebody. Especially if he's a faithful man of God. Living right. In the church, amen. Coming to worship. Working in the church. Doing everything he can. A man of God. A good wife. Or a good husband, amen. No doubt. Y'all think Job would have been a good husband, wouldn't you think?
Amen.
So this woman, the Bible says,
then said his wife unto him,
listen to her.
Dost thou still retain thine integrity?
Now, man, hold on, Joe. We done lost the house. We done lost the car. Our children are dead. And now you sick and I got to take care of you? You can't even walk. She became his caretaker. The same mother who was grieving over 10 children being dead got a husband who can't take care of himself. He can't walk on them boys. He's sitting in ashes. He's hurting. That's why we have sympathy for women who are taking care of sick husbands. Amen, somebody. And all of us husbands who got good wives ought to appreciate them when things are good, because if you get sick, she may have to wipe your, Here you are dogging her out and doing wrong, and then you're going to get out, you'll have a diaper on. Who gonna clean you up? Somebody ought to say amen. So the men dogging out their wives and things, and you forgot God can bring you down where you can't even get up. Praise somebody in the name of Jesus. That's right. And then when you got a good woman that's taking care of it, you ought to thank God for her and take good care of her too.
Amen.
She deserves it. She deserves it. But now, what know how Job handled his wife? Look, and this is how a man handled a good wife, too. You can talk. He said, but he said,
he said unto her,
Job said to her,
Thou speakest as one of the foolish
ones. I just hear him. Seem like he would say, baby, now listen. You talk crazy. And sometimes you got to tell your wife she's talking crazy.
Is that right? Anytime you got a wife or a husband that's trying to turn you from God, you just tell them they're talking crazy. Right? Now, he didn't call her a fool. He didn't.
You see, now, I got some sympathy here. I don't know about you all, but I asked the mamas in the house. How many of you all can be mad at Miss Job? How many of y'all think you could handle all your children dying in one day and have a right mind yet? You don't think you'd be pretty much crazy in the head? I don't think we ought to be too hard on Miss Joe, because that's a whole lot of trouble.
Yeah.
On one day?
Yeah.
A lot of funerals to go to.
Yeah.
A lot of obituaries to write. 7 caskets to pick out. And from the youngest to the oldest, they all came from your womb. Tell me a mother here wouldn't be pretty thrown off right about that time.
Mm-hmm.
Is she thrown off? Absolutely she is. But look how her husband do it. He said, baby.
What?
Now, here's how I want you to think. He said,
shall we receive good at the hand of God?
Now, you remember we had it. Things were going good. You didn't say that. You know, it is somehow we don't talk like that when things are going good. He said, baby, when we were doing good, you got your new car and all your jewelry and everything you wanted. I bought you some new hair and all that stuff, you know, and put that $300 on that stuff they talking about weaving or something like that. I don't know if they weaving it or sewing it but it's $300 or something like that. Extensions on, you know, your hair was short. I didn't want to spend no $300. You told me you wanted to look a different look, so I just let you do it. You forgot that? Joe pretty much saying, you forgot when we had all the children were living, I had all this stuff going on for us. Have you forgot that? Look what he said.
And shall we not receive evil?
Yeah. No. He said, if we going to take the good God give to us,
mm-hmm.
should not we be willing to take what else that comes with it, that God allows? And then the Bible says,
In all this, did not
Job
sin.
Did not what?
Sin. With his lips.
Satan lost the second round. Isn't that good?
Amen.
Remember, let's go into the head of Job. He has no clue about the conversation between Satan and God. All Job knew about is the same thing Paul knew about. I got a thorn that's hurting, boy. I done got 4 messages from this guy. The messages of Satan. Job's wife had no clue. Job's friends gonna come sit with him. They don't know what's happening. They think for sure that Job done something terrible. They think, Job, this don't happen to good people, Job. You think all of us in here are good people?
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, we probably are, aren't we? Do bad things happen to good people?
Yes.
Absolutely. Would good things happen to good people? Yes. So Job is saying, when good comes, we can accept that, but we can also accept when bad things come. So we are men and women of faith. Job is broke. He lost everything. Job is grieving. He lost his children. Job's wife is talking crazy. And Job is an unbearable physical pain with all these sores on his body. All he did not know why. But all he had was the messages from Satan. And what were they doing? Buffing him. Harassing him. Trying to destroy his faith. Job, he was trying to hit everything. I'm going to make him curse you. I'm going to make him leave you. I'm going to make him stop trusting in you. I'm going to make him. That's what he's trying to do here. He'll try to do it to all the congregation. He'll try to do it to anybody who's living for the God. Satan's objective is to get us all thrown off
and stop trusting in the Lord. He don't want you trusting in the Lord. He want to take your faith. He know if he take your faith, he got your soul.
In closing, what was it? What was going on with Job? The same thing that was going on with Paul. Go back over there. Here's what Paul said. Verse 12, chapter 12, verse 7. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation, that were given to me. He know it was given to me a thorn in the flesh.
The messenger of Satan to buffet me.
The messenger with a message.
I know. I got to turn my phone off at nighttime. You know, you can get a phone call in the middle of the night. There'll be a message on there that'll blow you out your bed. Amen?
Yeah.
Y'all know I'm saying some bad news messages come to the phone. And you know, if your child or somebody calling at 12 after midnight, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, somebody calling you, and it's a family member, you say, man, that's not normal. There's going to be a message on there I ain't ready to hear. I don't want to hear. Now, here's my last point I want to point out to you all. And so you got the buffet, right? It was a thorn for the messenger of who?
A Satan.
For him, what is his purpose?
To buffet.
What buffet mean? Harass. What does it mean? To punch. To harass. To destroy your faith. That was the message. Paul said that's what he was trying to do. And he humbled him. For then verse 8. Watch verse 8. For this thing
I besought.
Remember?
The Lord thrice.
The message was a thing. Go back to Job 3 now. I'm closing. This is my last point. Tie Job 3:25 to this verse. Look what Job said in Job 3:25. Job said.
For the thing
the
which
thing.
I greatly
feared. Well, hold it. He said what?
The thing.
The thing. The thing was multiple messages from God, from Satan. You see, the thing is the anything that causes pain. It's the message that when pain comes, faith prevails. When pain comes, God is bigger.
Amen.
Why? God had a message. Paul, he said, yeah, the thing, he said, this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart. What is this thing called? Listen to what Job said. He said, thing which I greatly feared has come upon me, that which I was afraid of is coming. And now he's going to tell you what it was. I was not in safety. I thought I was going to rest easy. I was
seeing
what I thought. But here's the thing. Trouble. He defined the thing was trouble.
Oh, y'all. Boy, I wish y'all could help me with. Y'all see it?
It's in the verse right there. He come back and said, I was quiet, but something came through the message. What came through the message was trouble.
Right.
Trials dark on every hand. We might not understand how God going to take us to that promised land. Amen, somebody. Trouble is coming. And every one of us need to mount up wings of eagles. We got to build our faith, hold on to God, never give up. Remember, God got a good message. He came back and told Paul, Jesus said, no, I'm not taking the thorns, I'm not taking the trouble from you, and here's why I got good news. My grace,
it's
here come the news that you got to hear. There's two messages. Trouble comes from Satan. Good news comes from God. He said, no, my grace is sufficient. Yeah. See, God said, I got you. Just don't let me go. I got enough to deal with him. Amen. I got American favoring you. And everything going to be all right. One day, you'll walk the street that's gold. See the walls of jasper. Amen, somebody. I didn't tell you this life wouldn't be full of trouble. See, if any man suffer, you suffer as a Christian. You're going to suffer. Amen. We're going to be trying.
But God is saying, once you make it through, there's a place called heaven. Amen, somebody. I'm going to be there. I'm going to wipe away all tears. No more crying. No more pain. No funeral home. No more death. No more cancer. No more dialysis. You coming home. Don't worry about it.
Amen.
Hold on to me. Hold on. I need it myself. Hold on. Don't come a day, Bruce.
Yes, sir.
It don't be a day.
Yes.
You gotta keep doing what you do. Hold on to me.
Amen.
Come one day. You hear me say, well done. Well done. The good and favor, sir. Bring it on. The boy said, don't get too bold. When you trust God, it's coming whether you're bold or not. You gotta trust Him. You gotta trust Him. Amen. Over here, forward, stood an old rugged cross, and Him was suffering and shame. And on that cross, the kindest man, the most loving man that ever lived, hung, suffered, and bled. Good news came from the cross. It was bad news to those watching. But it was good news. It was good news. Satan thought he was winning. When he was buffeting Jesus, they buffeted him. Jesus asked three times, let the cup pass. He had a thing to deal with. The thing was the trouble that he would face in the last 24 hours of his life. He would be beaten with a whip. He had to wear the crown of thorns. Satan is buffeting him. People are spitting on him, mocking him, talking about him. He had to carry the cross to the hill of Calvary. He got on the cross and he hung between the two things. Not because he did anything wrong. He hung up there for us. He hung up there for us. Amen. 6 long hours with nails in his hands and in his feet. And right about it, he was on the cross. He was there so I could have a peaceful life after death. God commended his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ would die. He would have to die to save our soul. He'd have to die before we get washed in baptism for the remission of sin. Don't listen to the preachers who tell you baptism not essential. That's a false doctrine, preacher. He don't believe Jesus. He don't believe him. Preacher Christ, well, you don't have to. All you have to do is pray. See, now I grew up in the Baptist church. Good people, all good people. So you can't take it by talking about my people. All my people are good people. Amen. Everyone. So you don't get to say nothing about them. I can. But my those me and my family call themselves reverend should have respected the book more. He was good, but if he blamed this book, he ain't no holy reverend in God's name. He would never call me to say, call him reverend. If he believed in this book, like he said he did, he would never call me. I didn't have to be baptized for remission of my sin when Peter said in Acts 2:38. If he believed in this book, then I'm talking about my folk. Good people. Yeah, raise hogs and chickens and we planted gardens and hold in the fields. Good folk. Told all we had to do except Jesus, our personal Savior. Not in the book. Talking about my folk, ain't talking about yours. Oh, really?
Yeah.
If the shoe fit. Now, I had one of my kinfolks say, I was born this, and I'm going to die a Baptist. I said, well, you weren't born with, that's for sure. That's just some folks say. But I'm telling you something. When you start listening to messages like this, you start playing around with God. Say, Lord, what must I do to be saved? Am I right about it? Peter told him in Acts 2:38, you repent every one of you and be baptized for the remission, for the forgiveness of your sins. And Jesus said, many wouldn't do it, but only a few.
That's it.
So you say, what are you saying, brother? I'm talking to people who are not members of the Lord's church. People who have never been baptized.
Let it roll. You don't think the message coming? The good news is that God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But you've got to be obedient. 2 Thessalonians 1:7 says, to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, flame of fire, taking vengeance on them. Watch it. And now watch it. And know not God.
Right.
Number two, obey not the gospel. What's obeying the gospel? Romans 6:3. And the following verse will tell us, gospel is a death, burial, and resurrection. If I have a word, I draw it. And here a dead man goes down, washed in blood under the water, Revelation 1:5, and a new man rises up. That's a death, burial, and resurrection. Same thing happened to Jesus, and the same thing have to happen to anybody who wants to be a child of God. Now, when they come up, they take their first breath and they're at the hospital, like the babies do when they come out the mama's womb. And the hospital is the church. The Lord adds to the church. He don't kick them out in the street. He put them in the church. They never joined the church. Acts 2:47. And the Lord added to the church daily, such as should be saved. The only question is, which church did he add it to? Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, upon this rock I will build my church. Who do the church belong to? Who does it belong to? He said, I'll build my church. Now you've been to school. What's that mind mean in English? Personal what?
Ownership.
Huh?
Ownership.
Ownership. See, I didn't score good in English, but I think it means I know what my car means. You ain't got to go to school and know about my money.
There you go.
That's the money that belongs to who? Tommy. You want my money? It's my money. Jesus had his church. And if it belonged to him, guess what's the name of it here? Remember what Paul went on and told him? Romans 16:16. He said, salute one another, hold again. The church of the Christ. Salute you. Now, one time, the name of the denominational church in there. It ain't in the book. Now, then you say, Brother Brooks, you been hard, am I? Am I? No, it is the person who's wrong. The people who are wrong, y'all, is the people who didn't tell us where to see it. Am I your enemy? Because I tell you what? The truth. Now, I dare you to do this. Read behind me. Prove me wrong. But I know with this book, you can't. This book belongs to the Church of Christ. It belongs to us.
Amen.
Yeah, it belongs to us. It belongs to us.
Right.
And forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Amen. That's a good lesson. Here's what I want to do. If you want to be a Christian, I want you to come down the aisle today. Mm-hmm. And you may have got a message from Satan, but God said, my grace is sufficient. He's calling you. You got to say, I want to be a Christian, brother. I want to be a Christian. Well, then you hear the gospel, that love story I just told you. Believe it with all of your heart. Repent of your sins. Be willing to confess before this altar. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then we'll baptize you as commanded by our Lord in Mark 16:15-16. Matthew 28:18. He said, go teach all nations. Baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And that's what we would do this morning. And the Lord will wipe away you. He'll wash away all your sins. He'll add you to the church. And that church is called the Church of Christ. And that's good teaching, good preaching. And it's the truth. Amen, somebody. And I don't take none of it back. It's all the truth. And you need to know the truth because the Bible said, Jesus said this, if you die in your sin where I am, you cannot come. That's bad news right there, boy. But the good news is you don't have to die in your sin. That's the choice you make. Because you're service to whomever you obey. When you don't obey God, you obey the messenger. You remember that now. When you don't obey God, you obey Satan. There are only two options. You can't get on the fence. Decide today. Choose this day whom you're going to serve. As for me and my house, Joshua said, we're going to serve the Lord. That's what we're going to do. Who want to be a Christian? Well, maybe somebody here, you're going through somebody listening, you're going through a whole lot of, you have a lot of these messages coming. You know, the prayer of the righteous availeth much. So we want to pray with you and pray for you. Lord, I want to be a Christian. Come on up and sing the song. Let it be standing. If you got a prayer request, if you want to get baptized, walk down the aisle right now. Together we stand and sing the song of encouragement.
Lord, I want to be a Christian.
Come to the Lord this morning.
In my heart, in my heart.
Who want to be a Christian?
Lord, I
who need prayer?
Want
who want to be washed?
A Christian.
Who got the messenger?
In my
which message
heart,
did you get this morning? When you come to Lord?
In my heart.
Come to God. Come yes to him. Let him in your life. Let him in your life. In my heart.
In my
heart. Who want to be a Christian this morning? Lord, I want to be a Christian.
Lord,
oh, you ought to want to be a Christian.
I want to
you ought to want to be a Christian.
A Christian.
Goodbye.
In my heart. Lord, I want to be more loving. In my heart.
Lord, come to me.
In my heart.
Don't be afraid to give your life to God. He wants you to be a Christian. Jesus is calling. Come to me. Come. All you labor and heaven laden, I'll give you rest. My grace is sufficient for you. When you come.
In my heart.
In my heart. See it.
In my heart.
See how y'all sound beautiful. Lord, I want to be a Christian. Sing with them.
Lord, I want
oh, I'm thankful to be a Christian.
Be
oh, man.
Holy
I want the devil have to ask God to come to mind. Don't you? Yeah, that's what comes to being a Christian. Yeah, that's what comes to being a Christian.
Lord, I want to be more holy.
You may be free. Thank you. May God bless you. May God bless you.